You're listening to The Andrew Miller Show. This episode, we're talking with Toniel Jackson, Green Party candidate running for a two-year term on the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District in Chicago and surrounding communities in Illinois. Toniel is an award-winning author, publisher, podcaster, and organizer. She is also founder of Artists Promoting Success and I'm Glad to Be a Woman. Jackson uses her platforms to educate and empower. Her podcast, Toniel Talks Politics, has helped bring awareness to the Green Party, their core values, as well as other environmental issues. Toniel received her bachelor's in communication from DePaul University and her master of business administration from University of Phoenix. In 2016, she was inducted into the 40 Under 40 Young Women Professionals League. She was inducted into the Professional Organization of Women in Excellence Recognized, also known as Power. That was in 2018. Then in 2019, Jackson was the recipient of the I Change Nations Award. So, what is the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District? It was created in 1889 as the Sanitary District of Chicago. The Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago, also known as MWRD, today is an award-winning special purpose district responsible for treating wastewater and providing stormwater management for residents and businesses in its service area, which encompasses 882.1 square miles and includes Chicago and 128 suburban communities throughout Cook County. MWRD serves approximately 12.72 million people each day, including 5.16 million residents. It has been called the most important agency that no one knows about. Well, Toniel wants everyone to know about it. For now, let's hear what she has to say. Hello, Toniel Jackson. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing today?
I am well. How are you, Andrew?
Fantastic.
That's good. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, definitely. Of course. Definitely. So why this particular office and why Green Party?
Well, you know what? Let's start with the second part first.
Sounds good.
Why Green Party? I am definitely a dedicated Green Party member, and I joined the Green Party almost 2 years ago. I joined them kind of by accident. I was doing an interview for a show, and we were coming up. This was 2020. So, you know, we're coming up to the election, and I am all about educating and empowering, right? And so when I'm spreading the information with listeners, then I also had to be educated myself about who was running for president and all of the information behind that. And so in looking it up, you know, all we had ever heard about was Joe Biden and Donald Trump. You know, that's really all that you heard. And so when I did my own research, that's when I found out about this guy named Howie Hawkins and the fact that he's associated with this Green Party. And so it's like, well, what is that? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And you know, as a fellow journalist, you know what it is to dig deeper, right? And so I just began doing more research about who he was and what the Green Party was, because I had never heard of them. And I'm sure that I'm like so many who had never heard of the Green Party or the Libertarian Party. You know, like you only really hear about those major political parties in the Democrats and the Republicans. And so as I began to do more research about the Greens, because prior to this, I'd always considered myself a Democrat, but not an active Democrat, right? Like simply as a civic duty, who am I going to vote for? Democrat, right? And so like when I researched the Greens, that's when I saw the 10 core values that they basically consider their foundation. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is who I am as a person. So whether you're talking about the grassroots democracy, social justice, nonviolence, ecological wisdom, personal and personal and global responsibility, decentralization, community-based economics, racial diversity, gender equity, future focus, and sustainability, like all of these are actual concepts that I live by. And so when I found out that there was actually a political party whose belief system aligned with mine, I'm like, that's a no-brainer. You know what I'm saying? And so then I reached out to them. I reached out on Facebook and found out that there was an Illinois Green Party. I'm from Chicago. And so there was an Illinois Green Party. And it was like, from there, the rest is history. So I just really got involved and I started learning more about what it meant to be green. And I'm not even really what I don't consider myself a politician, right? I tell people that all the time. Like, I more so refer to myself as a public servant because I've been serving all of my life. And so now I'm just doing it on a more public platform. And so in either case, like, I got involved with the Green Party. And so in getting involved with them and you're trying to grow the party, you're trying to build it because we are still relatively new, even though we've been around for a few decades, it's still a job in informing more people about who we are. And so when the office, when the candidacy came around, you know, they kind of approached me with this saying, hey, is this something that you would want to run for? And so I was like, you know what? Let's go for it. So that's really how the whole thing came into play, me being a representation for my political party is the reason for my running for this office, at least initially. And then I started doing more research to find out exactly what the MWRD does and all of that stuff. So I'm like, oh yeah, I think that this is definitely something that I could do.
All right, excellent, sounds good. And I know you mentioned Howie Hawkins. The last episode was with Howie Hawkins.
Oh, wow.
He's running for governor of New York.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Illinois Green Party. I know when I first started this in 2020, I had David Black on when he was running for U.S. Senate and Tom Wilda when he was running for U.S. House.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I've interviewed Illinois Greens before.
So we love you for that. Thank you so much for the support. And really quickly, let me interject this.
Sure.
What you are doing for Greens is so important because many major platforms, like, again, I'm out of Chicago, but we have, as you just said, Howie's in New York. Like, you have Greens all over. We are not just a local political party. We are actually a global party, but
in
parts of the world and specifically this country, people only know about the two major parties. And so, you know, to be able to have platforms like yours, where it is a welcoming to the Greens, it is very refreshing. And so again, thank you for this opportunity.
Oh yeah, definitely, of course. And I know, yeah, you know, well, as far as other countries go, even in Canada, I mean, there's Greens that
hold
spots in parliament, like places that have a parliamentary system.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I know, for example, Howie Hawkins ran for president. I know election before that, it was Jill Stein. There was always someone on top of the ticket, which is good because that's what makes people somewhat hear about them on a national level. Because sometimes it's just having someone on top of the ticket is how everybody knows about them. But of course, that's when the only time you hear them mentioned is the whole like, they're going to spoil the election type thing, or they don't have a chance of winning, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still important for them to be there because I know there are some states such as New York where, you know, in order for anyone to run, like as a Green, for example, for local office or state office, there has to be someone in the same party on top of the ticket to do that. So, and local offices is where they actually win too. I mean, it does happen. You know, I had a guest who was serving on the city council in Minneapolis who was a Green. He was in the whole time he was too. Like, he was first elected as a Green and he was there for like 16 years. So on the local and state levels, it does happen. And I think that's important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of people don't really understand why, but you really broke that down eloquently because when you go to vote, so if you're actually going to your local polling place and you're going to vote, one of the questions that they ask you is what ballot would you like, right? And so typically it is either the blues or the red. So are you a Democrat or are you Republican? And so even if you happen to be a Green or another independent party, there are no ballots for you. And what that means is there's nobody at the top of whatever, whether it's a federal or state election, there's nobody in those top offices. So like during the midterms, there's not a governor running for the Greens. And so therefore, by law, they do not have to produce a ballot just to have somebody from the MWRD running. They don't have to do that. And so when you, it's really like a strategic move as well, because when you have someone running at those top spots, then by default, they have to produce a ballot, which then increases our, you know, our exposure, where people know, hey, these are other options for you, you know, and viable options at that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And when we get down to the local levels, too, people, you know, loosen up a little more when it comes to the, you know, the party loyalty. And yes, there are a lot of people who just vote a straight Democrat ticket or a straight Republican ticket, don't matter what.
Right.
But let's just say if there's someone running for county office who is from their own town.
Yes.
You know, they, and I see it every 3 years in my own town. There's a Democrat who keeps running for re-election for county office. And yeah, there'll be people who have like all the Republican candidate signs on their front lawns. Then they'll have the one blue sign that's him. You know, because they know him, they know he gives the town a seat at the table and all that. Mm-hmm. So people do loosen up a little more. And I know in the last presidential election, when I looked at how my state voted, yeah, Howie Hawkins running for president, you know, got very, very few votes. Mm-hmm. But the U.S. Senate candidate, Madeline Hoffman, got three times as many as him. So as people go down the ballot, you know, they loosen up. People are more likely to loosen up a little
more too with the party
loyalty stuff.
And what the ultimate hope is that, again, at the end of the day, that the media will look at us as being viable options, because that's one of the reasons why they don't feature us as much. Because when you look at even like the presidential debate, you didn't just have two candidates, but the way that it was presented, it made it feel as though there were, right? If you have media coverage and they're only covering the two major political parties, then it makes, because again, for many people, they only get their news from looking at media sources, and not even everybody. For many people, Facebook now, you know, social media now is their new media source. And so if you're not seen there, and I know, so like even in my campaign, it's really been a struggle trying to get the major media sources to say, hey, we'll also interview you. We'll also feature you. And again, that's not any shade on them, because I understand that they feel like they have to represent what their readers will read. But I think that you want to level the playing field. You want to make sure that you are representing all of the parties and not just the top two.
No, that is correct. Otherwise, the top two, all they have to do is say, well, hey, at least we're not the other party, so vote for us.
That part.
And then, you know, we see that all the time, too. And then, you know, if they all get the whole party, get the whole lesser evil party get selected, and they end up not delivering on anything, it's because all they had to do was say, yeah, well, hey, at least we're not Trump, or hey, at least we're not Biden.
Exactly.
And it just becomes, you know, it just becomes a downward spiral because of that. So yeah, we do need to open it up more, and then that way people could really vote their conscience and tell other parties, hey, you know, if, you know, hey, you know what, clearly I do vote because, you know, you see the votes counted and all that, but if you want my vote, you know, you have to do better than at least I'm not that candidate over there. So, you know, that's very important, you know, because we're seeing the effects of the whole lesser evil thing and how it just keeps getting worse and worse.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So as far as the office you're running for, I understand one of the current commissioners on the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District, I mean, this is what really caught my attention, called it the most important agency that no one knows about.
Yep.
Now, it wouldn't, I don't know what the case is, but it wouldn't surprise me if there is someone or something benefiting from no one knowing about this important agency. I mean, if that's the case, who would you say that is, or what would you say that is?
You know what? I will say who's suffering by no one knowing about it. all of the county residents. And that is Commissioner Kim Dubuclay's quote, because I read it. I've been using it as part of my Educated and Empowered campaign. Because here's the thing, it's really sad that we are the most important agency that no one knows about. Because when you look at the general election, right? So the votes just had come in. And so when I was looking at that, we had over 3 million people within Cook County, so City of Chicago plus the suburbs, that voted, over 3 million total, right? And how many people voted for the office of MWRD commissioner for the 2-year term wasn't even 400,000. So you're talking about just barely 10%. So what is that? Maybe about 12, 14% of the total voters who voted for our office. And why is that? My belief goes back to what Commissioner Dubuclay said. No one knows about it. Even when we were out, you know, petitioning to get our signatures, people were asking, well, what is the MWRD? And so to the point, that's one of the things that helped me to shape my campaign, being educated and empowered, because my belief is that people make more informed, better decisions when they are educated. And so when we're running for an office that nobody knows about, you know, like most of the time, if you say Metropolitan Water Reclamation District, most people have no idea what you're talking about, number one, but they're going to automatically mistake us for the water company. So like if they have a problem with their water, my water isn't coming in, they think, or coming on, they think that that's the MWRD issue. It's not. We deal with whatever waters go out. So like the waters that end up in the sewers, in the, you know, river, all of that, that's what we're looking at. So all the different types of pollutants or contaminants, that's what we deal with. And so it's very important to understand, like everybody, and I say it like this, you don't have to have a PhD in waterology, if you will, right? And that's right. One of the reasons why I like the fact of my running, because you have a lot of other people who have all these degrees, but what are the degrees doing if the residents don't know about what we do? You see what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
Like there is some type of detachment from the community residents. Nobody is, and I don't want to say they're not doing their job, but I'm saying that even if one of the sitting commissioners is saying that we're one of the most important agencies that no one knows about, for me, that means that that's a problem. That's something that we to be working to face. So just as much as we need to work to figure out what the problems are with, you know, climate change or different water pollution, we need to work on getting the people educated about what's going on. So now guess what? We're all working together to try to work toward this solution. And so that's really, like you say, with the MWRD, the two main things with the commissioner, what we do is we help to write policies that's going to protect the water environment, but we also help to oversee the budget of the actual MWRD. So in Cook County, you have 7 different MWRD plants, right? So these are the places where the waters are treated and different things like that. So when you got all of this storm water and all of that, that's where the plants are, where the waters are being redirected to, so that way it can be treated. And like I said, a lot of times people don't even know that when you're having issues in your basement, how many people do you know, if you're not one of those people, where your basement has flooded? That's an MWRD issue. People need to know about that so we can figure out, how do we stop that? How do we deal with this stormwater issue? How do we deal with flood prevention? So those are types of issues that MWRD deals with.
Well, that's good, because getting a basement flooded, it does happen when there's a huge rainstorm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, everybody has either had it happen to them before, or at least know somebody who has.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it's very important to know who to go to is regarding that. And you also mentioned something about, since it's the water going out, you mentioned something about pollutants. And I guess like that's what I had in mind when I first framed this question, like, ooh, who benefits from nobody knowing about this? Because because if people don't know about it, then people don't have, if they don't have their eye on it, then it could be easier for pollutants and pollution in general to be either not dealt with or redirected to residents by surprise.
Absolutely.
More people know about this, more people are in the loop, They know what's going on. They can keep an eye on it and keep their community clean.
Absolutely. Like, did you know the MWRD, they have both a hotline as well as a website that you can go to? Like, let's say if you're driving by and you see debris in the river or, you know, any of the you know, streams, but if you see debris in the river, there's actually a number that you can call to report it so that it will be removed. So like, you know, there are times when we have storms and trees fall over, or, you know, like if it's, whether it's a tornado or things like that, it just rained really hard and the trees fall over. All of that stuff now is in our water. There's actually a number that you can call and somebody will come out and remove it. So if you just happen to be jogging by, you know, maybe you live in Des Plaines or something like that, and you're jogging by the river and you see, you don't just have to feel like there's nothing you can do. And that's what I'm saying. Like, these are what some people may feel to be little things or little solutions. But when you keep, when everybody is working together. And so now whenever I see this going on, or even with, say, unused pharmaceuticals, right? Did you know that there are actually drop off depositories where people can go to actually drop off their unused pharmaceuticals? Because think about it, what most people are doing with unused pharmaceuticals is they're doing it with what? They're flushing them down the toilet. Because you see on all of these movies, right? You'll see people dumping things in the toilet, and so people feel like, oh well, that's what I'm supposed to do, not realizing that what you put down that toilet is going to the river. So you do not want for these things to further contaminate or further pollute our waters. And so these are all various, it's a lot of different topics that I'll be talking about throughout my campaign to help to educate the general public on just your basic to-dos and not to-dos, so that way we can, number one, know who the MWRD is, what it is that we do, and most importantly, why should you care? Like, why does it matter who I vote for? And for me, my whole concept is, well, if we don't know who the MWRD is, one of the things that I'm going to do, I'm going to make it a point to keep the public informed, keep you guys educated, so that you can be empowered to take action, right, towards a cleaner, greener lifestyle. That's really what I'm all about.
No, that's good. And I also see this as an opportunity, you know, for you and your party as well, because, you know, it's one thing for voters to play that whole, oh, it looks like it's going to be a close one, you know, with this whole lesser evil game regarding mayor or governor or any office that everybody's heard of and anyone who votes always votes for one way or another. But when it comes to something this important, yet nobody knows about, I mean, how can somebody play the whole lesser evil game if they weren't going to vote in the first place, or they didn't know about this in the first place? So when you're raising the awareness of it and telling them the importance of this and letting them know it exists, you know, they'll remember you as the one who told them that such a thing exists and who tells them, you know, the importance of it and how they could benefit from it and work with it and everything. So I think very, 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 really good opportunity for the Green Party is to seek offices like this, where they could say, hey, you know, this is an important thing. It's a good thing. And, you know, when we're the ones telling you about it, we're the ones who wanted to do well for you and you haven't heard about it from anyone else.
Absolutely.
You know, that makes it, I would think, a pretty easy decision on who to vote for that office in that case.
Well, Andrew, let's just hope that you are right, right? Because that's the thing. And Mark Bittner, who is also green, he's running for the 6-year term. So it's important that people know that there are two different offices that they can vote on November 8th. So you have the 6-year term for MWRD commissioner, or the 2-year term, which is what I am running for. And it's very important, like you said, because at the end of the day, who better to help clean the earth than somebody green, right? And so that's really the hope. Mark is really, he's really educated on a lot of these issues. Like, he used to work in the water plants. He has the degrees in waterology and waste management and all of these different things, right? And so I feel like the two of us working together really helps hand in hand. But I really hope that those who are listening to your show, watching your show, I'm hoping that they will do exactly as we're saying. And number one, before you even talk about voting for me, get more educated for yourself, right? Because whether I am elected or not, you are still a Cook County resident. You are still being affected by all of these various issues that result from mismanagement of our water. And so number one, educate yourself. But I will hope that, as Andrew said, that you will remember who some of the individuals, myself mainly, who's bringing it to your attention, things that you didn't know about. Now you are being able to increase in learning. And so if I'm helping you to know more about this issue, just imagine all the other things that you may not know about that pertains to MWRD that I will be able to shed light on. So, yeah.
All right. Excellent. And as far as is there a Democrat and a Republican running for this as well, or is it just a Democrat, or is it unopposed?
Okay, so for my particular term, for the 2-year term, I am running against Elizabeth Joyce, who is a Democrat. There is not a Republican seeking the 2-year term office. For the 6-year term, there is one Republican who is running. I believe his name is R. Kelly Caparelli or something like that. And then the Democrats have an entire 3-person slate. So you have Mariana, who is the incumbent. You have joining her is Patricia Teresa Flynn, and then Yumika Brown. So those are, so with the 6-year term, you can pick 3. So it's okay that there are 5 different people running. You can choose 3. And then for my office, the 2-year term, you can pick 1.
Wow. Oh, and that's another good opportunity there too, because now nobody could say, oh, you're going to take votes away from the Democrat or the so-called lesser evil, when it's like, well, no, it's like if there's no one else but you and them running, then it really does come down to, yeah, who do you really think is the better candidate, and who's the one who's letting you know this even exists in the first place? So that becomes a no-brainer. Yep. And even having all these different options of who to choose, okay, it's like, right, well, they could vote for you, they could vote for the other green, and then have their third choice be whoever else as well. Mm-hmm. And then you're running for a 2-year term, and so it's just, there's a 6-year and a 2-year. So yeah, 2 years from now, there'll be another election for it. So really, it tells me that, when it comes to trying to reach out to people who like, yeah, you know what, I agree with them on the Green Party on everything, but I'm always worried about, I want to keep the Republicans out of office or whatever, then that doesn't seem to be too big of an issue in this case. Therefore, it's like, you know what? What are you waiting for? What you agree with most is here. It's on the ballot. You have nothing to lose voting for them. Why not do it?
I really
see this as a great opportunity.
A great opportunity. Absolutely. Like, if nothing else, it helps us. It helps the Greens to get more well-known, where people will say, you know, because again, at the end of the day, the hope is that we can increase the amount of people who even know about this office. Because when you look at the fact that, like I say, only about 12 to 14% of total voters voted for this particular race, we want to make sure that more people are educated about it, because all of the people who voted, you reside in Cook County. So this agency affects you. So you need to be voting on who it is that is going to govern the Board of Commissioners. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Great. And did you face any challenges getting on the ballot at all?
I didn't. There were more personal challenges. I had a really bad fall. I had a bad fall at the middle of January. So like right after we were able to start circulating our petitions, I had a bad fall. But again, that's why I'm so grateful to my Green team, because they were able to go in my stead and circulate for me. But we did not get challenged. So pretty much the way that it goes is you have a certain time period to collect the necessary amount of signatures so that your name can be on the ballot. And then there's a certain time period that the other the other parties can challenge your signatures. And so we actually were not challenged at all. Neither Mark nor myself, we were not challenged. Now, there were other Democrats who were challenged, but none of our signatures were challenged. And so we were actually able to just go ahead and move forward. But because the unfortunate part is that because of the fact that it wasn't a Green running for governor, that there was not actually a Green ballot printed for the reasons we discussed earlier. And so people were not able to actually see our names on the primary, but we're already secured for the November 8th election. So yep, we will be there.
Well, I'm glad to hear that that went smoothly, because I know a lot of times I hear that's not the case. I know in North Carolina, mm-hmm. which is named Matthew Ho, running for U.S. Senate, they even though he met all the requirements and everything, they still found a way to
absolutely
not let him on. And
absolutely. And when you do those bigger offices, Andrew, they're a lot more, I don't want to say petty, but I'll say very meticulous, right? Because they don't want for us to serve as a challenge. And yeah. I think it's very important also to note that if you don't already have status declared in a particular office, then we have probably about 10 times the amount of votes. So like, instead of, as an example, if a Democrat or Republican may need, 5,000 signatures, we'll need 50,000 so that we can established. And so the issue is that it's already hard to gather whatever your amount of signatures are, but then they don't want to see us as a threat. So yeah, that's when they'll bring out all the big guns and we're going to challenge every signature, because they don't want for us to, be on that ballot with them. But here with MWRD, I think like this year, there was so many Democrats who came out of the woodwork running. I think it was like 13 or 15 people that was running for it. So I think that they underestimated who we are as a party and said, hey, what we're going to do is we're going to focus all of our energy on the Democrats. So, yeah, that's what happened.
Oh, yeah. Like making sure like their anointed establishment candidate doesn't face too many challenges in the primary and trying to. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
But in either case, Andrew, I just want to thank you again for the opportunity sharing your platform with me. Sure. And I just want to, again, remind your viewers, if they would like to donate to our campaign, they can go to our website, which is mwrdgreens.org. So that's the letters mwrdgreens.org. My name is Tennille Jackson. I am your candidate for the 2-year term for the MWRD commissioner. And so I hope that on November 8th, that I can depend on your vote.
All right. Excellent. Well, Tennille, thank you again for being on the show. And yeah, best of luck in November, for real.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Definitely. Again, the campaign site is mwrdgreens.org. Be sure to sign petitions of candidates you like running in your area to be on the ballot if they haven't achieved the signature requirement yet. To find more Green Party candidates running in this year's general election, visit gp.org. If interested in finding candidates from the Libertarian Party in this year's election, you can find them at lp.org. Remember, it's not just federal office these parties run for, it's also local and statewide offices too, so keep your eye out. That's important, and it's the local issues that can bring people together even more. Take advantage of that opportunity. To hear more episodes of The Andrew Miller Show, future or previous, find The Andrew Miller Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and other platforms such as Radio Public, Pocket Casts, and Overcast. You can also follow The Andrew Miller Show on Facebook. Remember, let's move forward together, and for now, peace out.